Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Time to have a look at some stories from some other parts of the world. Jonathan De Burka Butler joins us once again. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, Madrid, we're going to next. Probably the most important story of the week.
Yes, that's why we put it at the top.
Manspreading. Explain, I suppose, what manspreading is.
Well, do you know, the first time I actually heard about this was on Brendan O'Connor's show on RTE, when they were there was a big debate about it. I suppose, I think what it is when it's a man who sits out and kind of puts his legs really far out so that nobody else
can feel any comfort
beside
air.
Him,
yeah,
basically.
If you're, yeah.
Yeah, whether or not now it's a thing that's done on purpose or not, I don't know, but that's a different matter altogether. But anyway, the Municipal Transportation Company of Madrid has brought a ban in on manspreading. Now, when we say a ban, it's not clear yet whether they're going to actually fine people for doing this, but what they are doing is they're putting a sign up of a man with his legs spread out and they've put a red X through it. And it's basically going to say in Spanish, less of the man spreading, or don't sit in a way that's uncomfortable for other people. Now, when I looked at this, I saw the headline, I saw, this is humorous enough. But then I looked down and it's actually, it's come about because of a campaign that was led by a group called Mujeres en Lucha, okay? So I had a look at these guys. They've been around since 2001. They're a feminist group. They call themselves Trotskyites and socialists as well. They go out on the street and they're quite active. And they put this together. They put a petition together. They went to the mayor of Madrid. They went to the regional president and they've got this sign put up. There you go.
Right. Somebody's texting in to say, so is Jonathan a manspreading denier? I'm shocked. It is a thing. You do see it on the Dart occasion, and it's not just men who do it. Some people just take up an inordinate amount of space on the scene. It's not even because they're large, they just spread themselves out without thinking that the person next to them has to perch on the edge of the seat and can't really get comfortable.
So, yeah, the way it was being put, because a political party have taken up the thing to make it a national thing, and they've actually said that it's an exhibition of machismo and a microaggression that can make the person suffering it uncomfortable.
Right.
So there.
Are there people saying, though, this is politically correct, it's gone mad, nanny state interfering in people's lives, etc.?
I have to say, when I was looking at the story, I did have George Hook ringing in the back of my head. Now, as to whether there's
always
anybody,
an uncomfortable position.
Or whether there's been much opposition to it, I don't know in Madrid so far.
Right. Puerto Rico is to hold a referendum on
it's
the
held
future.
It, yeah.
Yeah, what's held it?
Yes,
yeah.
It did on the weekend. Sorry, it held it there on Sunday, I think. It was. They were given three choices, basically, whether they wanted to become the next state of the United States, become fully independent, or stay as a US territory, which is what they are now. They voted, and 97% of them said that they wanted a US statehood. 97% of 23%, though. A lot of the political parties said that it was a sham, and it is a sham, effectively, because they're not the ones who have the last say on this. It has to go to Congress in the United States of America, and they're the ones who have to invite Puerto Rico to become a US state. Why did they do it? They did it because they're in masses of debt. You might remember we ran a story last, I think it was last year, actually, where they basically said, look, we can't pay it, that we owe $72 billion. And the new governor of Puerto Rico basically came in and he said, look, if we join the United States, we'll get access to federal funding and the like. And, you know, it'll help stimulate the economy and that kind of thing. So they're putting it, you know, out there as if to say, we want to be part of you and it's up to you to invite us in. But it seems unlikely that it will happen at this stage.
Why is that?
Well, there's a few reasons. One is because Puerto Rico's would be the poorest state in the United States, and you've got a Republican majority there who are trying to pass measures for major cutbacks in all facets of US life. They'd be entitled to all sorts of social welfare, whatever they call it there, but welfare payments.
Yeah.
But also there's a political angle to it as well, which is historically Puerto Rico has always been democratic, followed the Democrat Party. If they're all of a sudden allowed to have a say in the presidential race and representatives in Congress and the like, it would dilute any sort of Republican numbers that are in there at whatever given time.
Yeah. Now, it's because it's a territory that they can't vote in national elections. Is that the case?
It is, yeah. But they do have a governor and they do have US citizenship, so that if they go there, they can, you know, go to the United States without having to go through hoops.
Right. Okay. So they are. So they have the rights of US citizens, but they don't. Yeah. They don't have to pay federal tax. Though.
They don't pay federal tax. No.
Yeah, but then again, but at the same time, they don't get any benefits from that. Okay, that's an issue. So it's unlikely to happen anyway.
It is, at the moment.
Yeah. Right, Peru we're going to go to next. And several people have been gored by bulls.
Yes, this is in a place called Huancabelica region. And they were at a thing called a Yalo Toro, which is basically where they have a bull on a rope and crowds of drunken young men usually come in and they taunt the bull. In this case, the bull kind of got off the leash and managed to gore about 12 people. Now, I don't think anybody died in this case. There is footage of it and it looks like it was extremely sore for some people, but it's has to be expected, really. I was seeing a statistic there that since 1924 in Pamplona in Spain, obviously 15 people have died at that famous
running bulls thing
there. So, you know, as to whether it's going to change people's opinion in Peru and finally put a stop to bullfighting, it's hard to see, but it won't do that campaign any harm, I would imagine.
Yeah, is there anything like an animal rights movement in Peru that might be objecting to this kind of thing?
I think, is PETA an international organisation, as far as I know? I'm open to correction on that, and I'm sure they've launched campaigns in Peru as well. I think there were several states in Mexico that put a stop to it recently enough, and I know that circus animals were banned in Mexico as well, so as to whether that'll, you know, rub off on Peru, I don't know.
We shall see. Right, India we're going to now, and farmer protests have led to at least one death.
Yeah, there's been a few since we were last talking, and this is 5 farmers have actually been shot dead in a state called Madhya Pradesh. Now, the protest started at the beginning of the month, and it's actually very interesting how they came about. There was actually a very good harvest this year after 2 really bad harvests in India in the 2 previous years. So farmers were expecting, you know, that it was going to be a bumper year for them, they'd get well paid. But because there was actually a glut of produce, the prices went down, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's very simple. In India, they just basically don't have the infrastructure, so they don't have storage facilities, those kind of things. So fresh produce, when they have it, they need to get rid of it really quickly. And you've got middlemen who bring it to markets, who bring it to the consumer, and they basically go, right, well, if you need to get rid of it quickly, I'll take it off you, but I'm not going to give you the best price for it. And if you don't give it to me, I'll go to the next guy. Mm. So they get rid of it as quickly as they possibly can. And this has caused anger because they believe there's not enough intervention from the government. Narendra Modi, when he came in, he said that he was going to double the incomes of the average farmer in India, in his time in office. That hasn't happened. And just they can't win either way. And they've now got angry. They've gone out and protested. And some of those protesters were shot. The farming unions are saying it was done by police. The police are saying that this was done by a group of troublemakers, and they've launched an investigation into it. But yeah. It's causing massive upheaval in India at the moment because it's spread to other states as well.
And there seems to be a massive rate of farmers taking their own lives.
Yes, in this particular state, 1,600 in 2016, I think it was. Yeah, 1,600 in 2016 because they can't pay their debts or because the crops just aren't, you know, good enough. And so they're under enormous pressure.
Yeah, right. Sri Lanka we're going to now, and more religious violence.
Yes, against Muslims. And it kind of happens quite a bit in this neck of the woods. Muslims in Sri Lanka, they make up about 9 or 10% of the population, which is 21 million. Now, there's been an explosion in the Muslim population. And what right-wing Buddhists, and I'll say that again, right-wing Buddhists, because sometimes people don't believe that, are saying is that because it's because of forced conversions, but it's actually not the case at all. It's just that the population has exploded because they're just having more children, effectively. So right-wing Buddhists are worried that Islam is having a bad influence on the country, even though there's only 10% of them. So there has been an increase in attacks on Muslim places of works and worship. And since April 17th, there have been over 20 attacks, either arson or bombs, or something of that type. So Sri Lankan police have arrested a number of people in connection to that, and they say that they're connected to a group called Bodu Balasena, who translated as the Buddhist Power Force. You know, so again, one of these right wing, well, they would be, yeah,
yes.
You know, Buddhist groups, extremist groups, really.
The Muslims in Sri Lanka, did they originally emigrate from someplace else? Is there some particular reason why they're viewed as a threat, given they're only 8 or 9% of the population?
I can only tell you that if we look at Myanmar, and we know that the Rohingya people, who are another oppressed group of Muslims in that part of the world, which wouldn't be too far away, are seen as a kind of a lower caste, for want of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're certainly seen as a threat by these people in
yeah. No, I suppose I was wondering more, is there a kind of an analogue to the Kashmir dispute, which is actually, often looks like a religious dispute, but is actually a territorial dispute.
Yes.
And is it something like that?
What I would say is it's actually closer to Myanmar, and this Buddhist group are connected to that group, in the 969 group
right,
in Myanmar.
Okay.
Or they kind of stem from that, at least.
Right. Okay, Saudi Arabia are going to now, and Barcelona shirts have been banned. Is it just Barcelona shirts?
I think maybe Paris Saint-Germain as well. It's any football shirts.
Right.
That I know you're a massive footballer. Any football shirts that are connected to Qatar. And Qatar Airways,
right, okay.
I think, were the sponsors. Yeah. Of Barcelona up until recently. And it's absurd, but you can actually be fined €140,000, or you get a 15-year prison sentence if you're caught wearing a Barcelona shirt.
Extraordinary.
Yeah,
that is absolutely extraordinary. Right, Somalia we're going to go to next, and this is a story about an Al-Shabaab attack.
Yes, and this is in the autonomous state of Puntland, so up in the north of the country, and it's an area that's been targeted quite a lot in the last year, and Al-Shabaab fighters, they stormed a military base about 100 kilometres outside of the capital of Puntland, Bosassa, and they killed about 70 people and they wounded dozens more. Now, it's thought that this happened in retaliation for the sentencing to death of 5 Al-Shabaab members who were convicted of driving a vehicle into carrying barrels of explosives into the capital back in April. So it is retaliation for that. But they haven't gone away. That's the big thing about Al-Shabaab. Even though the African Union, Kenyan troops, Somali troops and the troops in Puntland, who there's quite a few of them, are up against them, they still are going nowhere.
Right, finally, Georgia, we're going to now, and this is journalists wearing bags over their heads. For some people, this might be good news.
Indeed. It relates to a man by the name of Afkan Mukhtarli. He's an Azerbaijani journalist who was exiled in Georgia. He disappeared last week, and a couple of days later, he turned up back in Azerbaijan and was on trial. He was charged with crossing the border illegally and smuggling money. Now, journalists in Georgia believe that this might have been aided by people in Georgia, special forces, so that the Azerbaijani special forces and the Georgian special forces got together, kidnapped this guy and brought him back over to the border to Azerbaijan. So as a protest, journalists put bags on at a parliamentary committee session, and then later in the day, TV journalists went and did the same thing. There was one guy who actually was about to interview the deputy interior minister in Georgia, kept the bag on his head. The minister came on the TV and said, take it off. He said no, and the minister got up and walked. So it's quite controversial, as you can imagine, but it's causing a bit of a stir in that part of the world, and it'll be interesting to see if it has any effect. I doubt it will, unfortunately, for this guy.
Right. Okay, so what should we be looking out for in the forthcoming days? Obviously, Brexit talks.
Yeah, that's what I had there.
They're
not going to be on the 19th now, by the looks of it, but Davis is saying that they're going to start next week at some stage. Mm. We'll see. That's such a mess. Anyway, Trump's Cuba policy on Friday, and I'm not going to repeat what I have written
down there,
down
but
here.
I mean, are there any indications whether it's going to be a distinct departure from, now of course
from
he
Obama.
Said everything is different from what Obama did, but we're finding out, not necessarily. Mm. So
I think what they're saying, he's going to Miami to announce it, and I think what they're saying is that you can expect it to be quite a departure from what Obama's done in the future. But we'll see. The devil is in the detail.
Yeah.
And then there's parliamentary elections in Albania on Sunday. And so watch that space.
Okay. Jonathan de Burka Butler, thanks a million for coming into us.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.